Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we can come together this morning. And thank you, Lord, that we know that as we come to your word, you always have something for us to receive, Lord, something, Lord, for us to appropriate. We ask you, Lord, that you quicken our mind, our hearts, our abilities, Lord, that we may be able to hear your word and put it to work in our lives, Lord, that the work that you send it for, Lord, may be accomplished in us. And Lord, that we just may be able to praise you and thank you for the change that is bringing about in us, in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to give you the title for today. Generally, I don't do that, but there is a purpose here. And the title for today is Become Who You Are. It's a contradiction of terms. I mean, how can you become who you are? See, there is everything in the spiritual realm often comes into some form of logical contradiction. Because things that we think logically do not necessarily apply in the spiritual dimension. So we have to understand, this is why I hope that you keep this title in mind throughout this series. Because what we already are as believers, are born again believers, is not fully manifested. And we had to bring about that manifestation in our life. So there is the full expression of what Jesus achieved for us. We have a part to play in that. And that part is critical, and this is God's will for us. See, there are different decisions, different steps, different things that we need to appropriate and understand. That the Word talks about us very clearly. And there is a lot of misunderstanding as well in so many different areas, because people look at things from the point of view of the physical instead of looking at things from the point of view of what is the truth. So we're going to look at scriptures, not at men's ideas and theories. They have no power to change life. They have no power to transform us. We are going to look at scriptures and try to see how to apply those scriptures to our lives so that we may see what the Word says about us becoming a reality in our life. And we start from James chapter 1. Now, I want to remind you that possibly James is one of the basic books in the Bible. For me, for a new Christian, that's the way they should start reading the Bible. Because everything else is far above what they can really connect. And there is no, you know, instruction, practical instruction, the same way as in the book of James. The book of James was the first book written. And as a purpose. And the purpose is to actually give believers, new believers, the basis of the things that they should be acting on, the things that they should be doing. All the basic principles of Christian walk are summarized there. You don't need to, you see, generally people read the Bible starting from the beginning. That's the last thing you should be doing. Because you're not going to understand, you're going to be more confused than anything else. Okay. Generally, what people suggest is start with John. And start with John is good. I'm not saying that it's bad and it's something you should do, but John is much longer than James. And is much more theoretical than James. James is down to earth. For somebody that is starting, that needs a basic foundation on what they should be doing, is spelled out there. You know, like, watch your mouth, overcome temptations, need prayer, get to the elder of the church. I mean, just really basic, critical stuff for babies. You know, if you really are a mature believer, you don't need to go to the elders of the church to be prayed for healing. You should be getting it yourself. Hello? But if you are beginning, you should depend on somebody else that has more experience and should. I mean, to me, that's a qualification of being an elder. If you can't pray for people for healing, then you shouldn't be a elder. Because the basic there is the question of being able to do the job of elder should be doing. Anyway, so let's start with verse 19. James chapter 1. This is going to be an interesting series that we are going to talk about, because it's going to have an impact, a practical impact on your life, if you apply it. See, you can read the Bible and do Bible studies all you want. If you just do Bible study, you're not going to get anywhere. The only thing you're going to get is spiritually fat, but not strength. The strength comes when you start doing the word. Okay? And this is what James also says. So starting here with James chapter says, verse 19 says, therefore, my beloved brothers, let everyone be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. See, these are really practical things. Okay, just don't, you know, just listen. Don't be quick to just respond and react and do things. Okay? Verse 20, for the wrath of man does not work out the righteousness of God. You know, work out, or, you know, it doesn't produce. That's they're not going to produce in you the righteousness of God. See, there has to be, you know, that you are listening and you are lying. Align yourself with the word of God. All right? So starting there with verse 21, it's very important. Therefore, putting aside. I mean, putting aside means that who is doing it, the putting? Is God doing the putting? Yes, so something that you have to do. You see, putting aside says all filthiness and overflowing of evil. Now, what is this filthiness and overflowing of evil? You are born again. He's talking to believers here. Remember, he's not talking to heathens, he's talking to believers. And so he says, putting away all filthiness and overflowing of evil. You know, the word overflowing is confusing. Okay. You can use a modern term that is much clearer and helps you much more to understand. You know, leftovers. The leftover of the past life, the leftover of your experiences, your thinking, just yet to put those things away, and they don't go away by themselves. You have a job to do. You had to make some decision. You had to say, no, I'm not going to do these things anymore. They are not going to disappear in your life out of the fact that you were born again. Oh, you are going to have a something inside telling you this is not right. But the point is, when you ever don't think about it, when you ever are surprised by the circumstances, you're going to fall into the old pattern that you were before. So there is a part that you play. And the part that you play is actually to put away the old things. Now, there are so many places in the epistles talking about this putting away, putting on and putting off. And we are going to see these things because this is part of the process that we have to realize that has to happen in our life. So, excuse me, putting aside all filthiness, overflowing of evil, receive in meekness, the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. Now, the receive, generally, you know, I always bring up lambano. You know, but in this case, the word is not lambano. Okay? It uses a different word in Greek, which is dekomai, which actually means also take with the hand, but is much more passive than lambano. Lambano is you aggressively go and take it. Here, you know, is something that is like I'm offering you $10 and you take it, because and it's almost a passive thing. You don't need to make any effort. You understand what I'm saying? It's there. Why? Because it's implanted in you already. You see, these things is being put there when you were born again. It's implanted, the word was implanted in you, but it doesn't mean that you are really understanding it, doesn't mean that you are really applying it, doesn't mean that you are really... So you had to take it and passively allow to become part of you. Okay? So there is a component that has to do with your attitude and your position about taking the word that is planted in you and receiving it, and is going to, you know, the Holy Spirit's work is to actually bring it to understanding and revelation to you. Okay? But you have the part to make the decision. The Holy Spirit doesn't make decisions for you. You see, this is where you get benefit or some recognition or some reward from God is when you make the decisions that He asks you to make. Okay? So let's go back here. Receive in meekness. You see, the attitude is okay. There is a part that has to do with meekness here that means that you don't go by the way you feel, you don't go by the way you think. But you go by what God said and say, yes, okay, you know, I don't see it. I don't can get it. I don't know, but you said it. It's good enough. You see, there's a meek attitude in which you submit yourself. Meekness is not going around flagellating yourself and putting yourself down. Meekness is accepting what God says against what you think. So you take what God said, and which is the word planted in you. Actually, the word there is logos. Okay, so the idea, God's put it there inside you, your concept of the God's thoughts, okay, and He implanted or engrafted those things in you when you were born again. You see, it's not that you are going to do the implanting or engrafting. This is past tense. And that's one of the things that we are going to talk quite a bit in this series is about the past tense of the word. There are many things that the word says and uses the past tense for things that actually we sometimes have not seen yet in our life. And this is one of those contradictions that are there that we want to bring up. Okay? We want to... Paradoxes that actually are in our reality. Okay, we want to understand. If we understand the spiritual paradoxes of, then we are going to be able to apply them to our life. Otherwise, then we're going to get stuck into a conflict between our thinking and our response to the world around us and actually what the Word of God says. So there is a humbleness, a meekness that will be in us to receive that even if say, you know, by stripes I'm healed, and I'm just taking. Okay? And you have to have a humbleness to be able to say that, believing. And say, you know, lots of people that are ignorant enough say, well, you know, if I'm in pain, I'm lying. And that is where we are going to understand some of these paradoxes, because there is no lie in faith. Okay? We have to understand what the Word of God says. We have to understand how to look at reality. Where is the difference? And we're going to see. Just let me get there. I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay. So this plant word implanted in us is going to be able to save our soul. Evidently, there is some salvation of soul that needs to be taking place. You know, the soul is our emotions, our thinking, these things. There are things that need to be changed, even if the word is implanted in us already. All right? We don't become perfect in this terrier, but our spirit is being implanted with God and His word. All right. Then goes on, says, for anyone who hears the word. No, sorry. I'm jumping ahead. Verse 22. But become doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So you see, become is an indication that it didn't happen already. That's why it says how to become who you are. That was the source, the origin of the title of the message. You have to become doer of the word. The word has been implanted in you, but you are not doer yet. And become doer means that you are going to put it to work in you and you're going to start doing it. You are going to start doing it. Doesn't happen automatically. You must decide to do it. Not just hear it only, because otherwise you deceive yourself. I mean, these are very clear words, very simple words. But they're basic for us to be able to progress in our Christian walk. Okay? If we get stuck here, doesn't matter how many degrees in theology we have. Doesn't matter how many Bible studies we do. Doesn't matter how much we even read the Bible. Doesn't matter how many prayers we make all day. Doesn't even matter how much we fast. If we don't put the word to work in us, we are fooling ourselves. And instead of allowing our faith to grow, our faith is going to decrease and is going to be shipwrecked. That's what means that we are going to be deceiving ourselves. Because we think we have something that we actually don't have, that the only way to have it is when we put it to work, is when we make the decision to do something about it. All right. It says, for anyone who hears the word and is not a doer, is like a man studying his natural face in a mirror. So you see, what does a mirror show? If you look at yourself in a mirror, what are you going to see? What you are, your own image. Okay. So what it's saying here is not a mirror, but is like a mirror, and it shows you what you really look like according to the way God describes you. Are you following what I'm saying? So this is real, the real you. Not the one that you see in a physical mirror that reflects only the physical things. All right? And so, you see, that's what happens, that we see these things, but, and let me continue reading here. Studying his natural face in the mirror, his natural face. You see, this is the nature that's already there. The word is a mirror reflecting your true image, not the exterior image. God doesn't see the exterior things, the appearances. He sees the truth. Now, for he studied himself and went his way and immediately forgot what he was like. You see, there are different things here. There is a question of ability to see things. Perception is, for us, reality. What you perceive, generally, you say, this is reality. But what you perceive is determined by lots of facts, lots of things that have nothing to do with reality, is the way you interpret the things that you see. Your belief system affects the way you see and what you determine is reality. Now, there is always a field that is called epistemology. That is a very interesting area of study or philosophy or whatever you want to call it. And it's concerned with the theory of knowledge or the study of knowledge. And there are different things that you look into the data, and I'm not going to go into too much detail, but I had to mention this because this is important. It has an impact on the things that we are going to see and study. Okay, makes a distinction between reality, which is actually what we perceive or believe, which is actually subjective and can change. Okay, because one day you change the way you see things and everything, the interpretation is different. Okay, then there is, the justification that you use for your beliefs, the basis in which actually are generally experiences you had before. Okay, then there are facts. Facts are things that you actually, this is, 25 inches. It's a fact. Okay? Facts also can change. Because if I break this, it's not anymore 25 inches. All right. So anything physical that we look at and we determine and we measure and so on are facts. But facts are not stable. Are just almost as bad as our beliefs or our perception of reality or what reality is for us. And there is something else that the world cannot know, and there are absolutes, is the truth. Okay. The truth cannot change. The truth is always the same. The truth should be the basis for our understanding and our relating to reality. See, our reality should be based on the truth, not our own imaginations and beliefs and experiences from before. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Who believes in me, shall not perish but have everlasting life. The only one that comes to me, to the Father comes through me. I mean, that's the truth. That cannot be changed. Doesn't matter what you believe, what I believe, what anybody, what the world believes, but that is the truth. And that is established, and is the Word of God is truth. And we had to realize which part we had to really understand. There is a question sometimes of interpreting the Word, but the fact is that the Word of God is the basis for us to have our discernment of reality, what the truth is. So if the Bible says, by stripes, you were healed, that is the truth. May not be a fact. And you have to see what you believe. Changing facts. Because 1 hour later you can be healed and you will say, well, I can't lie, I'm hurting here. Nonsense. You believe the things that don't change. You believe the truth. Jesus is the truth. Doesn't matter what you say and what anybody says, what any philosopher says, any religious guy says, anybody says, doesn't make any difference. Are you following me? So we had to learn to think by absolutes, not by perceptions, not even by our belief system that can be screwed up. Okay? We can have lots of ideas that we think are in the Bible because they've been teaching them for 2,000 years, but doesn't mean they're the truth. In fact, last Thursday night, we had lots of fun, doing lots of hamburgers with sacred cows. Anyway, I will talk about that. But some of these things had to come up. We had to deal with this because there is a lot of teaching that actually has been tradition. And Jesus said, you know, that we make the word of God of no effect by the traditions of men. Okay? The difference when we believe the truth is the truth works. That's the basic. All right? So for he studied himself and went away and forgot the way he was like. So he didn't register, didn't connect with the perception that one has of oneself. And so you really didn't believe it. So you see, what you actually registers to you is what you believe. But it goes on, it's verse 25. But whoever looks into the perfect law of liberty. You know, perfect law of liberty doesn't mean that is the perfect law according to which you can do anything you like. Right? It's the opposite. The perfect law of liberty is the law that shows you how to become free from all the bondages. That's what liberty is about. It's not doing your own thing. It's doing the right thing so that the bondages of the enemy cannot be staying on you, so that you can walk in freedom, can walk in all the blessings of God, can walk in a way that God has planned for you. Okay? That's the perfect law of liberty. You see, it has to be perfect because it comes from God. All right? And that doesn't just walk in that, you know, look at the perfect law, don't just look at it, but also continuous in it. On how you do that, how do you continue to walk, to look at the perfect law of liberty and continuing. He does not is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word. You see, by becoming a doer of the word, you are going to continue in it. You see, that's the way you have to put yourself into that. All right. But a doer, but a doer of the word, and this one shall be blessed in all his doings. You see, you start reading the Word of God. The Word of God describes you. You see yourself in it. You see what the Word of God says about you, the way you behave, the way you think, the way God thinks, which is really the same thing that you should be doing. And then you can see yourself and you can identify with the image that God provides for you so that you can have a reference or a standard or a truth to which you refer yourself to. You don't go by the way you feel. You don't go by your past experiences. You don't go what other people say about you. You don't go by any of those things. You go by what God said about you, and you appropriate that for yourself and says, yes, and I'm humble enough to really, if it doesn't match with my experience, to say, yes, I'm that way. You see, that's the first, this is a step of faith that you take, evidently. If the things don't match, you see, there has to be a decision that you make to believe God. Faith is nothing else than believing God. So you just believe God rather than believe other things, believe your thinking, believe your experience, believe the past, believe anybody that said anything doesn't make any difference. You stand on the truth of the Word. All right? It says, you know, and it's not a forgetter, but a doer of the work. You see, a doer of the work. You see, there is work involved. I mean, to put it to work, you have to do something about it. It's not just that you are mentally agree with it. Yeah, I just agree, but it doesn't make any difference what you mentally do. There has to be a congruence in your behavior that matches what the Word of God says. So you have to, in the things that you are not lining up with it, you had to put pressure to work toward that. Okay. doer of the word, this one shall be blessed in all his doings. So you start reading and accepting it and start saying by faith and stop looking at the past. And then, you know, so shows, the, you know, some more things about practical things that generally are involved in doing that. You know, if anyone thinks to be religious among you, yet it does not bridle his tongue, you see, that's one of the first things. One of the first things that comes about, your tongue is going to say, yes, but, the word says this, but, look what I did yesterday. What about 5 minutes ago? And this is where you have to bridle your tongue. You say, shh, quiet. The word of God says, by his stripes, I am healed. Present tense. Listen, devil, present tense. All right. But, you know, brotherly stand, but deceive his own heart. This one, religion is vain. You see, if you don't bridle your tongue, your religion, you are deceiving your heart, and your religion is vain. We are wasting your time. May you well stay home. Hello? Are you following what I'm saying? All right, good. All right. But pure religion and undefiled before God, the Father, is this, to visit the orphan and widow in affliction. That means taking care of those in need. All right? This is actual doing, putting to work that word. Keeping oneself unspotted from the world. How do you keep yourself unspotted for the world? You know, there is a saying, it says, you know, if you fight with a pig, you get dirty. But you don't need to fight. You have to just get into the pig place and you get dirty too. So you have to keep away from pig places. That's separation. See, holiness is separation. It's not just looking pious. Looking pious doesn't do it. Generally, probably there's a problem. There is a religious spirit with this. Okay. Really, the true religion is really when you are accepting what God says, and you do it simply like that, without big fuss. Are you following me? So, we are talking here, you see, this is why the title of the message today, Becoming Who You Are. Who you are, the truth, is the Word of God. And that may not be completely manifested in your life because your mind needs some tweaking. Hopefully little tweaking or big tweaking. It doesn't matter. See, God is big enough to do any tweaking that needs to be done if you use your faith. So you have to take the action and you have to allow him to manifest the things that he said about you in your life. But that doesn't apply only to yourself, applies also to others. I mean, if God says something about others, they're different from the things that they look out from the outside, where you have to start saying the same thing. If you want to agree with God, you have to say the same thing that God says. Hello? That means, you know, that it doesn't mean that you just take control of your tongue about yourself. Okay? Which is difficult enough. But you take control of your tongue about other people too. You don't go by what you see. You don't go by what they do. You go by what God, the Word of God says about them. Amen? Are we amen or ouch? But that's the way we had to understand and learn to act and operate. And we are going to be, as I said before, this one shall be blessed in his doing. You want to be blessed? You want to see the manifestation of what God has promised? You want to see the manifestation of what God said about us? This is a very practical lesson. It's nothing fancy, nothing so difficult to understand. It's a question of just accepting it and going with it. Amen? Praise the Lord. So, remember the difference between the truth, facts, and reality, our perception of reality. The only thing that stands is the truth. And the only way that you are going to get the truth is not going to man, is to go to God and to go to His Word. See, philosophers cannot find the truth. They can just find arguments. And they go from arguments to arguments. Scientists do the same thing. The more you study, the less you realize you know less. That's why I got out of there. I got tired of going around circles. When I found Jesus, I found the truth, and I found the answer I was looking for. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. All right. So what we're going to do, you know, I think we covered some good material today. I hope that that helps you to connect. We haven't finished. This is just scratching the surface. Okay, we had to start applying this to yourself, okay, to your life, to your experience, to the way you see yourself. You see, that image that we were talking about, you had to start seeing that image and not, you know, as you go away, the image fades away and your face come back there. Okay? The image you see there is Jesus' face. Praise the Lord. And that should remain there, imprinted in your thinking. And you have to carry it around with you until people looking at you, they're going to see Him. Amen? All right, so I think that I don't want to start another scripture because I don't have short scriptures. You know, when I quote scriptures, I generally take at least 7 or 8 verses. And that takes a long time to cover. The point is, you know, I don't like to preach my own preaching. I like to preach the Word. What counts, not my thinking. And I just read to you this Word. It's simple as that. I mean, it makes my life so much easier. I don't have to come up with any new fanangled ideas that are ideas of men that don't work. I just have to say what the Word of God says and, you know, hopefully expand it, explain it so that you can start to work with it. That's all. If God said it, that's good enough for me. Amen? All right. So, so what we're going to do is close now for the meeting. Excuse me. And we're going to pray for people that need prayer. You know, you don't need music to have miracles. Jesus didn't go around with a band. All right? He didn't need to create an atmosphere. He was the atmosphere. And He's inside us. And that's all the atmosphere we need. You can be on the street corner, and that's the whole atmosphere you need. Or you can be in church, and if there are no religious spirits around, maybe that's the only atmosphere you need. Amen? Amen? So we are going to pray for anybody that's in need, but we are going to pray first close in prayer. Maybe we should take a short confession here. I don't like confessions. You know, when you confess the Word, you speak the Word out of your mouth. And as you speak the Word out of your mouth, this is how you receive your salvation, because you agree with it. Now, if you just repeat it because, you know, I say it, doesn't do much good. This is why, you know, I have been doing some confessions, but I'm not been passing them around. And if you want them, I can put them on the website. Some of them are on the website already. But, you know, the key thing is not repeating somebody else's words. What counts is your need at that particular moment and to have the words that fits the particular need in which you are going to believe and you are going to express and you are going to confess before God, before the devil, and mostly before the devil. Because he need to know that you mean business. Okay? That's all. So you see, the best way is for you to, when you have something, and that, you know, that's the way to actually pray in the morning. It's not to repeat a little rigmarole that you said all the time, or you go to the whatever they call this, messal or whatever, you know, the usual little prayers that is saying the same thing. You know, what's your need today? And learn to take the scripture, go and ask God for the scripture that fits there, and start speaking it out and expanding it and making it a reality for yourself. Apply it to the specific situation you are in, confessing it as the truth, because it is the truth. Amen? Amen. All right, so let's make a short confession, and then we pray for people. Praise the Lord. Father, thank you that we can come to your word to receive the truth. The truth is what we believe. It's not what man says. It's not what people believe. It's what you said is the truth. And we believe that Jesus is your son. And he died for my sins. And he made me free from all the consequences of sin in my life. I can walk free today through the power of God, his forgiveness, his healing, his abilities to overcome all situations in my life and to give me victory over all things. I am more than a conqueror because Jesus said I am. And I receive it, appropriate it, and thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. And amen. Just walk in that. See, that's part of the walking in. That's part of the making it happen. You see the image, that was scriptures, wasn't it? That's the image that God shows about us. Forgiven, healed, restored, all these things. See yourself that way and start praising God about it. Amen? God bless you. All right, so anybody that